Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I appreciate you taking the time. You're gonna like this. I say that all the time, but I only bring on guests that I'm really excited to chat with. And we have Morgan Wright. He's coming on, and you can learn more about Morgan Wright at morganwright.us. But he is cybersecurity expert. Boy, if you look at the world and what's going on in our world, whew, tumultuous place. But how many things do you know of that don't gravitate back to, I don't know, cyber? The world has really changed. And, you know, I like to tell this story about our son, Max. Max was, when he was a little kid, I remember he came running around the corner. Now, keep in mind, he's like a practicing attorney now. He's like really successful and grown up and has kids and we have grandkids, but he came running around the corner. He's like 5 years old and he said, "Mom, Dad, look at this great big CD." And it was a record. He had never seen a record. And you think about the transformation that's happened over the course of time, right? We have now, if you talk about CDs, there's no kid around who's, you know, in their teens or whatever, even knows what a CD is, let alone a cassette tape, let alone a 8-track tape. And that's how far I go back. Like, the technology just continues to change at this incredibly rapid pace. And, the world's always changing and it becomes dangerous. It becomes better. It becomes more convenient. Technology's great, but when it works, but it also creates these nefarious conduits for a criminal element or a devious actor to want to manipulate you or tap into you and your resources that you hadn't known about. Now, quite frankly, I have a book coming up, and next week we're going to talk a little bit about that because it's coming out June 30th and July 1st, right there, that first week of July. And this is part of what we're talking about because data is just so omnipresent in our lives. Anyway, we're going to talk to Morgan Wright. We're going to talk about the problems, the challenges, how cyber is being used in warfare, how it's being used in identity theft, how it's being used against our senior citizens, how it's being used against young people who are creating trails that years from now they maybe don't want necessarily to be there. It's just, there's a lot out there that we're going to get into. And I haven't chatted with Morgan, but he's got a great background. He's been on Fox before, and he's certainly on my radar. And that's why I'm interested to talk to him about what you can do, what's going on, and the realities of what's happening. And I think that's going to be a worthy discussion. Now it's time to bring on the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, this is a special kind of stupid. The more I read it, the more I kind of felt sorry for this person. But at the same time, oh my goodness. All right, this comes to us from thehill.com. Here's the headline, which you got to just love. Michigan woman makes PB&J during virtual court session, and the judge, not quite so happy. So this happens evidently in Detroit, where a mother, this is where I start to think, okay, I know this is stupid, I know you should know better, but, Fox 2 and CBS Detroit News are also reporting on this, that this person, Aja, I think is how you pronounce her name, Outerbridge, appeared before the judge. It was a misdemeanor, and it was allegedly having an open alcohol container as a passenger in a car. She wasn't driving. That's a good thing. But still, an open alcohol container, can't be doing that. So, asked to go to court. And she, this is what she told the judge. Because evidently she was very late for this court hearing. And she evidently told CBS News Detroit that she had multiple court dates. And so she got a little confused. She thought it started at 1 p.m. And then she realized it actually started at 9 a.m. So she logged into Zoom and ended up in a waiting room for more than 2 hours. And so she put on a robe, like not the judge's robe, but she put on a robe. Okay. So she's sitting in there and then finally somebody comes on and the judge says, these are not exact quotes. Why are you late? What's going on? And she said, well, and why aren't you properly dressed? And she said, well, I do have clothes on under the robe. So she takes the robe off, shows that she's got a T-shirt on. And then she proceeds to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which the judge did not take very well. So she's late for the hearing. She's wearing a robe and she's making a PB&J. But here's where I start to think, okay, I feel for this woman. She said that her daughter's sick, and so she had to take care of her daughter. Her daughter was hungry. She wanted to get focused. She knew if she gave her PB&J that her daughter would not be interrupting them. And but the judge didn't take all this quite well. Oh, my gosh. She said she needed a mommy day, but when you have multiple court dates, you're wearing a robe, serving up PB&J, you're 4 hours late, allegedly, for this court hearing. Things didn't go too well. That is the stupid. And that is what happened in Detroit. These judges get to see a little bit of everything.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, Debt Lou is here for you. With Debt Lou's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at Debt Lou are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Hey, it's Matt, your Leaf Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable no clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. Worried your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On April 9, 1959, NASA named the first group of American astronauts, selected from a list of 110 candidates. In just 2 years, on May 5, 1961, Alan Shepard would become the first American astronaut in a suborbital flight.
Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth? I cannot tell you. He won't know himself until the day of the flight. From your right, Malcolm S. Carpenter, Leroy G. Cooper, John H. Glenn, Virgil I. Grissom, Walter M. Shearer, Alan B. Shepard, Donald K. Slayton. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the nation's Mercury astronauts.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A preschool teacher from Arizona who helped diagnose one of her students with a rare illness makes today's Dean's List. Hudson was not running as fast as the other kids in his class and was relying on something called the Gower's Maneuver to get himself off the floor, which is where a person uses their arms to walk their body from a seated to a standing position. Twyla Pabuda says she knew this wasn't normal and gently suggested to Hudson's parents that maybe they should check in with their pediatrician to let them know this was happening. So a visit to the specialist confirmed that Hudson had a form of muscular dystrophy and was diagnosed early. Hudson's mom says Miss Twyla is a blessing to their family, and without her, he might not have been diagnosed for a while. They're grateful for her knowledge and courage to speak up. That was 4 years ago when Hudson became one of the first kids in the country to receive an FDA-approved treatment that gives his family hope for the future. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Take a pause.
Blue-green algae. This stuff can be toxic, especially for dogs, and it's been reported in lakes across the U.S. Dog owner Mark Davis of Austin, Texas, has seen plenty of it while walking along Lady Bird Lake.
We've changed how we walk so that he doesn't. There's a couple places where we used to fish that he likes to get into and drink water, and so we're skipping that part of the trail.
There's a pilot program to treat the algae on the lake. Conservation Program Manager Dr. Brent Bellinger says they're spraying a clay treatment that binds to and buries the nutrients that fuel the algae's growth.
The hope is that you can push the system back to what it was before the toxigenic algae were present.
Poisoning from blue-green algae can strike a dog within 15 minutes, so if you suspect your pet's been exposed to it, rinse them off immediately and get to the vet. Take pause. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
I really am excited about bringing on our next guest, and I want to make sure that there's so many things, there's so many avenues, so many places that we can really go with this, but I really do think it's important to talk about this and have people understand and not be naive about what's going on in the world. So let's bring on Morgan Wright. So, Morgan Wright, thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Hey, what an honor, man. We've met a few times in the green room, and I've followed your career, so I'm very honored that you had me on.
People need to understand what a green room is, because it's kind of funny. It's like there's a room at a TV station where you can gather and guests go before it's time to go on set. Or get makeup and that stuff. For whatever reason, they call it the green room. And I've always thought, I wonder if people even know what in the world a green room is. But yes, it's not actually green. People say, oh, is it because they always paint them green? Like, no, that's not green. But yes. But I'm glad to have you on, Morgan. Sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked in the first minute, but really glad to chat with you because the world is a tumultuous place, and so much of our world has changed to cyber. And oh my goodness, technology is great, as I was saying earlier. when it works, and if it's being used for nefarious purposes, whew, that's where I get worried about it.
You know, a lot of things have changed. In fact, you kind of want to set the stage. You know, I do a briefing, and it actually started with a war game exercise I did back in 2013 out at the National Defense University. We said, I was a group of people, and I went off on my own and said, okay, how would Russia invade Ukraine? Right. And gamed it out. Actually, and so you look at, you know, when they did invade them, a lot of things came to pass, but it got me thinking. So, Jason, one of the big things that has changed is after World War II, we had what we called the first offset of war, and it was nuclear weapons. Only the United States had nuclear weapons. The Russians got them in 49, but it took till 1960 till they got parity. Then they had the Warsaw Pact. We had NATO. And then Russia could invade, you know, a NATO country. It would take us a long time to get NATO forces together. So we had to say, what do we have? Well, we have technological capability superiority. So we created the second offset of war, which was called look deep, shoot deep. We could get their forces as they were coming in. They might get the initial forces in, but we would get all follow-on forces. Mm-hmm. So I asked this question. I say, so what's the third offset of war? A lot of people scratch their heads. Jason, the third offset of war, at least what I believe, and talking to a lot of people smarter than me, is AI. And if you see what's going on in Ukraine right now, you see what's going on with Israel, you see what's going on around the world with China, AI will be the game changer for the next world war or conflict that we're seeing. So, yeah, technology has changed from being not a domain of war to now it's the fifth domain of war, sea, air, land, space, and cyberspace.
So explain, when we say AI, artificial intelligence, I think people are starting to be familiarized that it's
right.
Not just Google, you know, so Google some. You go to something like ChatGPT or Grok. I happen to personally like Grok, you know, and I get a much more comprehensive answer. It has the ability to understand in a much deeper way rather than just referencing some other article. But in the terms of, or the atmosphere or the of war, explain what you mean by AI and what it could do, and where are we at today and where is it going?
So, you know, just kind of break it down. AI is dumb out of the box. It has to be trained. So that's where you get a lot of the machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to be trained. What is a cat, right? You and I could look at a cat. We can figure it out, right? But AI has to be trained. But once it gets to that point, it can reason things quicker, faster, better than humans. And I'm like you. I'm a big fan of Grok. I use that almost exclusively besides very little ChatGPT, some Perplexity. But it can do reasoning. So what it can do is it can hold things in its mind that the humans would not be able to hold at any one time. We could get to there eventually, but it gets there much faster. And it can do things that we're not capable of doing. The only thing it doesn't have are the cognitive capabilities of human. Our ability to think and reason still surpass AI, but when they get to what they call AGI, artificial general intelligence, that's where you get like the Space Odyssey, 2000, you know, the HAL 8000, which, by the way, HAL 9000 was kind of a joke, but HAL stands for, actually, we go one letter forward, it stands for IBM. So, you know, machines, could they take over the world? That's what people are worried about, but AI has done so much it can advance what we learn about medicine. By the way, AI can now do a lot more about modeling nuclear explosions, or what's the effect of a GBU-57 dropping on the four-door nuclear facility, what kind of things might we see? AI could help us reason that and get to an answer quicker, faster, better. So, but it serves us in our lives. It serves us, it does a lot of things. But as with anything, it's a tool. We have to be good at using the tool, putting boundaries on the tool, and understanding when does it exceed, you know, safe parameters and how to properly use it. That's the biggest thing, you know, coming from your background, Jason. It's not the technology. It's how do we create policy and governance around the use of the technology.
Well, and that's the scary part, right? Because I can tell you, you got 535 members in the House and Senate. There may be, I don't know, three that actually have enough of a background to ask intelligent questions. And so the idea that we're going to put some guardrails on this thing and be smart, I worry that Congress is going to do what it typically does, which is be reactionary and not proactive. It won't necessarily be able to do what it should to do ahead of time. But let's go back to war and how AI, what it can do and not do. Because one thing is in gathering intelligence, being smarter, but I also worry about like deep fakes and,
right.
You know, I see that as being a crossover of the world of politics and war. The ability to communicate in mass to people. I mean, Elon Musk has Starlink, which can open up like it did in Iran just recently by making Starlink available so that the masses can gather information, but it can also be used, not saying the tool, the Starlink, but I'm saying the content that goes behind that. I just worry that it manipulates large numbers of people with these deep fakes.
You know, Jason, that's an excellent point, because if you think about Operation Overlord, you know, D-Day, Normandy, there was a lot of deception involved, and it doesn't have to work forever. It just has to work long enough to fool the enemy.
Right.
But in this day of hyper-scaled everything, right, so what's the role of AI? Well, there's some concerns about AI, and it's how our adversaries use it, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. You get these things called lethal autonomous weapon systems, the ability for it to make decisions quicker, faster, but not necessarily better. That's why DOD has a policy that says, look, we're going to keep things, we're still going to keep a human in the loop on the decision making, because you don't want to automate the decision of blowing up something. Just because you can blow up something doesn't mean you should. There may be a political reason or another reason why you hold off on doing it. So we see things like that. But my concern is when they start turning loose autonomous drones that are a seek and destroy, that have no human intervention, that's where I think we're going to run into a huge problem, is when this thing is not regulated, when it's unleashed, and you'd have somebody going down the street, which would be a valid target, a military-age male with a weapon, as opposed to an old man carrying a stick. How do we know that AI is going to be able to differentiate? I don't think we can get to that point yet.
Well, that's scary, because I like to think that the United States has a more of a moral and righteous compass.
Yes.
But you start talking about some of these other nefarious, whether they be proxy groups or just outright terrorist organizations like, you know, like Iran or the Houthis or Hezbollah, if they could implement an AI tool to say, you know, take out any airplane, you know, that kind of thing, that gets to be pretty scary.
You know, I'll go back to something that actually happened. I think it was in October of 23 in Slovakia. It was the case where they believed that an election was thrown because of a deep fake audio. And it's not so much that the deep fake audio was totally effective, but what Russia did, and Russia was behind this, is that their preferred candidate was losing to the other candidate that was more Western aligned, aligned with the EU and stuff. But what they took advantage of was Facebook's policies that said, look, we'll remove a video that appears to have been doctored, but they had no policy around audio. And in Slovakia, there's a 48 or 72 hour quiet window. You can't do any campaigning. You can't do anything. So this audio came out that made the other candidate look bad about, hey, we're going to throw the election, we're going to do this, wasn't able to respond to it. So does AI have impact? Yeah. And imagine what would happen is if a video went out purporting to show, you know, the president saying, hey, yeah, let's bomb Iran, you know, Reagan's joke, but let's bomb Iran, let's drop the GBU-57, and let's do it now. Before you could determine that that was not a true video, Iran may respond with something we don't want them to, chemical, biological, maybe a proxy group, like you say, unleashing something. How do we authenticate these things that are coming out? And that's the huge problem with deepfake, is they will fool. The bar has been raised, right? We used to be able to sniff these things out. Well,
right.
The bar has been raised where it gets harder and harder to sniff these things out until it's too late.
I mean, it truly is. Like, you see some things and you just think, really? Did they, like, if even just that pause of, all right, I got to decipher whether or not that's true.
Right.
In the context of an election, it becomes nefarious. And, you know, you hope that people are smart enough to figure it out. But in mass, you know, it's so easy to push send to how many millions of emails or put it out there on one of the big social media platforms and you're toast. But in the context of war and whatnot, You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Morgan Wright right after this.
We'll be right back. every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
July, beat the summer heat. White to win dry. One lucky winner will receive a Samsung 70-inch TV
and a Samsung soundbar.
Daily entries start on July 2nd and continue until July 9th, with the final drawing taking place on July 9th at 8 p.m. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
This summer, stack the deck in your favor with a night of music, laughter, and Broadway magic with the Shasta College summer musical comedy, Guys and Dolls. Be enthralled by the talents of over 30 singers and actors as they bring this Tony Award-winning classic to life with unforgettable songs, dazzling dancing, and fast-paced fun the whole family will enjoy. Evening performances run July 18th through the 26th, with two matinees on July 20th and 27th, and a special ASL show on July 24th at the Shasta College Theater in Reading. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $15 for seniors, and just $5 for students. Reserve your seats now at shastacollege.edu/artsevents. Have some cool family fun this summer with the classic and affordable live orchestra musical, Guys and Dolls. Get your tickets today. See you at the show.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
is Jason in the house.
Let's talk a little bit about China here, because it's not all necessarily about war, right? There is kinetic action on some things, but there's a lot of interaction that is an attack on the American people, whether it's going after their financial institutions or, you know, trying to ransomware. I mean, these are not new topics, but they're more and more convincing the more and more you involved and get engaged.
Yeah, you know what China's done is they're taking the long view of stuff. Obviously, at some point, we know there's going to be conflict between them and Taiwan, and they know that we have an agreement with Taiwan in terms of defense. But one of our critical bases, Jason, is Guam. And so there are these threat actors tied to China called Salt Typhoon, Volt Typhoon. Everybody has to have a stage name, apparently. And so they have these threat actors. Well, one of the things they've done is they've gotten into the critical infrastructure in Guam, into the power, into the water, into the communications. That is so huge. I mean, a couple years ago, I was up in New York City, myself, General Tata, and General Kellogg. We're up there with Martha McCallum. We're talking about war. And one thing that concerned me was if somebody got into our systems just that way, we've seen now the effect of hypersonic missiles. They travel 6 to 8 times the speed of sound. Defending against those is tough. If we ever wanted to react against those and all we had was even a momentary blackout of communications or of our common operating picture that we couldn't see the battlefield, man, that has significant consequences. So what China's doing is that they're cataloging these vulnerabilities. They're not exploiting them yet, but they're cataloging them. But at a time and a place of their choosing, should conflict arise, they're going to go after significant things: power, water, communication, banking. Look what's going on in Iran right now. They can create chaos in the civilian sector by simply shutting down the money supply. The ATMs don't work. The banks have been wiped out, especially some tied to the IRGC. So there are huge things you can do when the population believes that something is happening, and that's the effect that cyber can do. It's not sexy like SEAL Team 6, you know, parachuting in, or Delta, you know, coming in, kicking your door down, but it has, give me one guy with the keyboard versus one guy with the tank, and I'll take one guy with the keyboard every day of the week because of the damage they can do globally.
Yeah, I do worry about an electronic magnetic pulse, right? Like, how do you live your life in this country without electricity? I mean, that would be really, there would be a lot of people who would perish under that scenario if it went on for a long period of time.
So the EMP stuff is something that's, I think, been reported on because of the impact it can have. But you're right. There's a theory of war that says if you want to bring a nation to its knees, you go after two things. You go after power and water. Remember when the ransomware gang called the DarkSide Ransomware attacked Colonial Pipeline and it shut down oil supplies on the East Coast for like a week? We didn't miss. We didn't lose a single drop of oil. Not a single drop of oil was sucked out of their pipeline and taken anywhere else. But the perception that we were going to lose power and energy, people reacted in a certain way. They were filling up plastic bags. You know, they were hoarding toilet paper again. Why do we even need to hoard toilet paper even with COVID? Right. But people get into these things. So no, it's the ransomware is a geopolitical tool as well as, you know, malicious software. A lot of these things, when you look at what Russia did with NotPetya, the ransomware attack that was only supposed to hit Ukraine, but it jumped containment and it hit Maersk and everything else, the most damaging cyber attack in history. I think it's north of $11 or $12 billion now. I mean, there are real-world consequences. You take out the power grid. You take out water. You can go a long time without power, but it's very tough to go a long time without water.
Explain to me how water is affected or, you think of cyber, you don't think of water. But I guess it's the transfer of water, right, the cleaning of the water. Explain that to me a little bit deeper.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of these things. People can go out on the interwebs and find all the stories about from Florida to New York about even Iran being in one of the dams and trying to shut off the water. But you know, there's a lot of chemicals that it takes to treat water to make it drinkable. Right. And if you mix those things incorrectly, it becomes lethal in a lot of these areas, or it can damage the water supply. So a lot of the stuff now has gone to – one of my roles is I'm a senior fellow at the Center for Digital Government. We deal with all 50 states. We're dealing with a lot of these states. Water is one of the big issues because they don't have the workforce that they used to have. You've got the graying out. Look, I've got gray hair. I know folks can't see this, but I got gray hair, right? a lot of the old folks are retiring, but there's not enough people coming in. So they've had to figure out they've got to do work more remotely. So a lot of these things now are automated. There's a lot of technology that is facing the internet that should not be, that's controlling the mixing of chemicals, turning on and off water. There's a huge vulnerability in that. It's like the power grid, right? There's no centralized system. There's no central power grid. There's no central water supply. So it's kind of one kind of protection. But the problem is, what happens? You saw what happened in L.A. when they didn't have water where they needed it for the fires.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. Imagine an adversary maliciously attacking one of our reservoirs and releasing all the water, and it creates not only damage and stuff downstream, but then you have a wildfire at the same time that's been started by proxy, by actors. It sounds like something out of movies, but it's not. This stuff really happens. And now you've got no water to fight the fire that has been started by other people.
I've mentioned a few times on this podcast previously that Donald Trump does not get enough credit for creating the Space Force. Now, I remember when this was first created, people were like, wait, why? Like, what? And the left, the liberals and Democrats just started mocking the president. I mean, they came up with these Hollywood TV shows and stuff that were just like, oh, the Space Force. Like, it was some dorky thing. But having seen enough, at least during my time in Congress, there's a war going on in space right now.
Yep.
And people don't realize it because you can't take a selfie with it. You can't see it. You don't hear it. But, boy, you could feel its effects if you were to understand and see. And I think, to his credit, that's where President Trump used his political capital to stand up a group of people that were experts in this and to understand that, yeah, without satellites, without GPS, without our ability to protect ourselves with the big golden dome that he's going to be building, we're vulnerable, and he doesn't get enough credit for that.
So it goes back to the discussion we were having earlier when I was talking about the domains of war: sea, air, land space, cyberspace. So what do we have for sea? We have the Navy. I mean, you've got the Marines, which Marines say we're not part of the Navy, but they are,
right?
Being a former Army guy, right? But you've got Army and Air Force, right? So sea, air, land. What do we have for space? We have no combatant command. We have no branch of the military that is dedicated to a domain of war. So I think it's smart that you create a military capability that is for that domain of war. The same thing is that now it's been working its way through Congress. It's been up and down, but creating a separate cyberspace force, because to recruit for cyberspace, it's different than recruiting for a warfighter,
yeah,
you know, a tip of the spear guy, right? And so people say, well, we have Cyber Command. We've got an SA. Yeah, guys, but that's a hodgepodge. That's bringing people together. You've got to have a unified fighting element, just the same way the Marines and are structured, the Army structured, the Navy structured. So I think it's a natural evolution, and I think it's something that should have happened sooner. But when you take a look at now at some of the missiles that Iran is firing that are being intercepted not only by Israel but by our Army, it's called THAAD, I think it's Terminal High Altitude Defense, we're now intercepting missiles in space before they can start their downward trajectory. So if space but you've got China. China always does the same. Well, we don't want to weaponize space. At the same time, they're weaponizing space.
Yeah,
putting lasers in space. But, I mean, space is going to be another battlefield. The next war, I think it was Albert Einstein said, I don't know what World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks. You know, we're getting to that point to where many of these things are going to have an impact on, look, an EMP burst in taking out GPS locations, satellites. China's already doing that. They're jamming that thing. We rely on GPS for precision bombing, putting bombs and bullets and troops on target. So there's a lot of things happening in space that affect our everyday lives. People may not know it, but you get out in your car and you drive somewhere and you punch in the address, you're relying on GPS to do that.
Yeah, in our ag sector, you know, if you go look at what John Deere's doing, you're starting to see autonomous John Deere machines out there picking crops, spraying crops. It's unbelievable how important they are. I remember visiting with Jim Bridenstine. He was the NASA administrator. He did one of our podcasts previously, and he talked a lot about it, the ag sector and how important NASA is to the agriculture of our country and all the control mechanisms and everything. Look, our ability to communicate, just talk to each other, it's all tied together, but so much of that bounces up off outer space and back down. Yep. It's truly amazing. And that's, I was asked spontaneously by Sean Hannity a couple weeks ago about Elon Musk. This is as he was kind of departing his Doge role. And I said, I actually think the biggest legacy of Elon Musk, Doge will be really important, but his ability to put the United States back at the forefront of our time and space, that there is this war going on and that we have to be able to protect ourselves and play offense and defense, is probably his greatest legacy. Because without SpaceX and what they're doing, we would be helpless. We would not be able to get up in space. Obama had pretty much dismantled that, scuttling the shuttle program. And we were literally reliant upon the Russians to get up to the space station and to be able to launch satellites.
One of my good friends is the director of governmental relations for Starlink and SpaceX for Elon. And I've had discussions with her before about some of this stuff. And, you know, you think about it, a lot of people make fun of him when he said, we want to eliminate $2 trillion. Oh, you can't do that. You know what? If you only shot for the moon, you'd end up somewhere in between and fail, right? So when Elon says we want to occupy Mars, when he's literally taking moonshots, he's taking planet shots. And so the ability to do what he's – think about this. I remember as a kid, and I date myself here, but I remember when we landed on the moon, you watch the Apollo aircraft take off. It splashes back down into the ocean. Everything – it was not reusable except the space capsule, and that took a lot of work to make it reusable. But now we've got – rockets that land themselves on barges in the ocean. He can now turn around and put that rocket back into space in 2 hours, whatever it is, 3 hours. He just had an idea which said, why can't rockets land themselves? And SpaceX was born from that. So I think the impact, and I think his contribution to SpaceX and to cyberspace and to the space as a domain of war, Space Force, we will not know for another decade the importance of everything we're doing now, how it's going to play out. But we will when threats like China arise and they start getting bigger, if Russia reconstitutes itself and whatever the next threat will be, maybe North Korea. If you don't think space is important, just wait.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. It's been almost half a century since San Jose teacher Diane Peterson was stabbed to death in the hallway of her school, but now police say they've cracked the case. On June 16, 1978, a student found Peterson on the floor near her classroom with a single stab wound to her chest. Earlier this week, the Santa Clara District Attorney's Office said that Harry Nicky Nickerson was the person who stabbed her. He was 16 years old at the time and a longtime suspect. A witness that told police that Nickerson had confessed to the crime and that he had seen him carrying a knife that had written on it, "Teacher Dear," but the claim went unverified. In 1983, another student claimed he saw the killing and the attack happened because Peterson caught Nickerson selling drugs, but he then recanted that allegation. Just this year, investigators met with one of Nickerson's family members who admitted Nickerson came to their home minutes after the killing and confessed to the stabbing. Nickerson committed suicide in 1993. There's more on the story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with Fox Celebrity Profile with star and executive producer of Fox's Going Dutch, Dennis Leary. Leary shared some of his favorite fan feedback on the show.
You get it in the street, for me anyways. I thought the best one I heard was, this guy I play hockey with is an ex-military guy. So I was in the locker room. He walked in and he went, "Colonel, your daughter is running rings around you." And I was like, That's a good review.
Leary also spoke about how filming on a real army base adds to the show's authenticity.
It was always funny because even when we were indoors at the buildings on the base, you know, there's real soldiers walking through when we call cut.
Yeah.
That might be cutting through the hallway or whatever. So they were always laughing at how bad our salutes were. So we were constantly reminded of how feeble we were when it came to actual military drilling.
Catch up on season one of Going Dutch on Hulu. Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Let's talk about kids for a moment here, because they're growing up in a world where everything's documented. And, you know, personally, one of the privacy policy prescriptions I wish was out there in mass is the right to be forgotten. And I know it was being pursued in Europe, but it just seems to me that when you enter into a contract with, say, Google, and you're going to trade away some of your privacy by giving them access to your personal information, which why just despise Google as a business model. But when you do that, you should be able to get out of this contract at some point. I mean, why do you have to sign away your life, literally for life, and give them this information that they can use in perpetuity when there's no consideration on the backside if you want to terminate the relationship?
There is a very famous saying in Silicon Valley. It says, when it's free, then you're the product.
Right.
So, and so what they productize is your personal information, right? Identity information. And so that original case you were talking about, Jason, actually originated out of Germany. It was a man saying, "Hey, I want to have the right to be forgotten. I don't want them to store my information forever." But let me tell you what's going to upset Google's business model. It's things like ChatGPT and Grok. Search as an industry is about to die or be right. significantly impacted by Grok. But let's talk about kids for a second. A friend of mine, retired from CIA, was chief of counterintelligence, and I had the misfortune of speaking before him because he blew me away. We were at the same conference. It was amazing what he talked about. And they talked about what they used to do back then about the ability to get fake passports and do stuff. You can't do that anymore. In fact, in CIA, if you want to be one of their case officers, if you want to work covertly under diplomatic cover anymore, it's true name, what they call operating in true name. It is so difficult to create a false identity anymore. So people need to realize with your children, and this is why it's so important to train them about, don't give them smart devices until I would say 16. You know, they found these villages in Ireland where they just banned cell phones for kids and smartphones till they're 16. Test scores improved. I've got a set of neighbors out where I live, Jason. Great neighbors. They are out there with their kids all the time. No electronics. These kids right. are getting sunshine, fresh air, you know, having fun out there. That's one of the biggest things you can do to stimulate the mind. But when they're on there, the other thing they're learning are bad habits. That, you know, they're not learning the same kind of safety. You would no more give a kid the keys to your Lamborghini when they're 13 and never had a driving driver's lessons, right, then you should be giving them a smart device and say, just go get on the internet and don't annoy me. Just go do that. Parents have to be actively involved. You know, you've got to be actively involved in this. So kids now are finding out that their identities have been stolen and compromised. A friend of mine, his kid went to apply for college, found out he had a mortgage in his name in California. Oh, you know, already at age 17.
So, congratulations. Yeah.
Already building your credit score. Woohoo. Yeah, there you go.
Morgan Wright. We can learn a little bit more about you, right? At morganwright.us, right?
.us. And I'm on Twitter and stuff. I'm not big out there right now, but you'll catch me on Fox, you know, Fox Business.
Yeah.
One quick plug. We're DOJ funded, but I'm the founder and CEO now of a new capability called the National Center for Open and Unsolved Cases. So our goal is to connect the dots, collect the dots, solve every case. And so that's we're working on our third DOJ grant to get that done. So that's the other thing that occupies my time. That cyber is a big part of, because now with the internet, every case has an equal chance of being solved. That the internet has no concept of distance. If you've got information on a case, we're going to be able to help you connect to that case and help solve it.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Good. I'm glad the DOJ is involved in that. That's really neat. Morgan, we have to ask you a few personal questions, because we ask everybody these.
Fire away.
And they're very illuminating. So, first concert you attended?
1978, the Doobie Brothers, Fort Hays State University in Kansas. Yeah, baby.
There you go. What was your high school mascot?
The Chapman Fighting Irish, which is one reason why I'm a Notre Dame fan and did my graduate work at Notre Dame. So go Irish.
Oh, very good. Now, the big question, this is probably the most important question, which is pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
That is a mortal sin that I hope the new Pope Leo will put an end to this. Never. It should never be allowed to be on pizza.
The audience loves this. The judges approve of this answer, and you got them all right. So those were the most important ones. Morgan Wright, we really do appreciate joining us on the podcast today, and Jason in the house. And good answer. Pineapple on pizza should never, ever happen.
Never happen. Not on my watch, pal.
Great stuff. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Jason. Really do appreciate it. Well, thank you so much for listening. Podcasts really are good, right? You can go a little deeper. You can get into some issues some more. I mean, I could have talked to Morgan for a long time, but because I'm fascinated by this. I hope it's helpful. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you join us next week. And I also hope that you will rate this podcast. You can subscribe to it. And also, I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Again, thanks for listening to the Jason and the House podcast. I would encourage you to go over to Fox News Podcasts, plural, foxnewspodcasts.com. You can see a lot of my colleagues. They got some good podcasts out there. But again, rate it, review it, subscribe to it. Be back with us next week and scroll through all the ones we've done before, because we got a lot of good ones out there. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Hey, it's Matt, your Lee Filter trusted pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable no clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
Spring is sprung, and whether it's pollen, dust, dirt, or road grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has you covered. They offer car wash packages starting at $11, which includes a hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle automated pull-through wash, and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. President Trump says he will proceed to push his administration's policies after getting a major Supreme Court legal victory last week. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Now that the high court has curbed the power of lower courts to issue nationwide injunctions, the president said his administration will move forward.
We can now promptly file to proceed with numerous policies that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis.
Those policies include restricting birthright citizenship, firing probationary federal workers, freezing USAID funding, and allowing DOGE personnel to access Social Security data, among others. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas is praising President Trump's handling of the Iran crisis.
Iran has a history of blowing up embassies and barracks and committing atrocious acts of terrorism. And the American people should know that that threat will continue, likely as long as the Ayatollahs remain in power. President Trump knows that, but he balanced the threat of terrorism or missile strikes against the threat of a nuclear Iran, and he rightly concluded that we had to eliminate Iran's nuclear capabilities.
Senator Cotton made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. Sudan's civil war has overwhelmed a border town in neighboring Chad. Nearly a quarter of a million refugees have arrived in Adre, and the humanitarian front line on the edge of one of the world's most devastating wars is in danger of being completely swallowed. As thousands of people continue to arrive, aid workers fear more camps will emerge in eastern Chad, but with less to offer. Protesters in Venice voiced strong opposition yesterday to Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez's extravagant wedding there. Hundreds marched through city streets criticizing the billionaire's celebration as exploitative, while residents face over-tourism and high costs. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
Pope Leo is marking a feast day as the Vatican launches a new campaign to boost donations from the faithful. Leo celebrated Mass at St. Peter's Basilica today, marking the feast of Peter and Paul. It's typically used for a special collection for Peter's Pence, a key fundraising initiative. Leo thanked donors who contributed, saying their financial support was a sign of union with his young pontificate. Vatican donations, however, have been dropping over the years, particularly in light of the priest's sex abuse scandal that is now a global problem. Simon Wang has become the highest-drafted player born in China when the San Jose Sharks selected him with the first pick of the second round of the National Hockey League draft. Wang's family moved from Beijing to Toronto when he was 12, and he picked up the game there. The 6'5" defenseman surged forward in his development over the past year, showing more than enough potential to entice the Sharks to pick him. News and analysis at townhall.com. Restoration is underway on the remnants of an 18th century ship found after 9/11 buried beneath Manhattan.
Turns out it was a Revolutionary War-era boat, and it's now being painstakingly restored by a team led by Peter Fix with the Center for Maritime Archaeology and Conservation.
Our hypothesis is that it was built as a small gunboat. There were 13 of them that were actually built in the summer of 1775 in order to protect the Delaware River, Delaware Bay, and ultimately Philadelphia.
Once restored, the relic will live at the New York State Museum in Albany. I'm Julie Walker.
Today is Sunday, June the 29th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today. They include actor Gary Busey, who is 81 years old. Former Congressman Fred Grandy is turning 77 today, and NBA star Kawhi Leonard is 34. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
President Trump has landed in the Netherlands. The president expected to make his first appearance 3 days after ordering airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities in response to the nation's growing conflict with Israel. On Monday, the president announcing a historic ceasefire deal between Israel and Iran. However, the opposing nations have both since violated that proposed truce. At least a few times, President Trump speaking before boarding Air Force One, expressing deep frustration, we could say that, with both Israel and Iran as efforts to remediate the conflict hang in the balance.
I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Meanwhile, as question marks hang over the Middle East, the president shifts his focus to The Hague and NATO, the path forward for the Russia-Ukraine conflict. To discuss this and more, let's bring in our panel, anchor the story and host of the Untold Story podcast, Martha McCallum, Fox News senior White House correspondent Peter Ducey, and CEO of Schoen Cooperman Research, Carly Cooperman. All right, Peter, you're out there. What's the reception for the president at NATO?
So his reception here has been pretty good so far, except after all this pomp and circumstance and a greeting from the king and the queen, he goes to this dinner with the other NATO leaders, and all of a sudden, multiple outlets start dropping stories based on the same Defense Intelligence Agency assessment that nobody has seen. But the thrust of it is that Saturday's big strikes in Iran against the nuclear sites that President Trump wants celebrated here at NATO might have only set the weapons program back a couple of months. As soon as that crossed, I reached out to some pretty high-level folks at the White House. I immediately was handed a statement from the Defense Secretary disputing this. But if that is going to be the headline of this week, then it is going to completely derail everything that President Trump wants, which is he wants to come here, shake down the rest of the leaders for some more percentage, a higher percentage of their GDP in defense spending. And then he wants to go home. And this has the, I know that timing is never your friend if you're the president, or rarely your friend, but this has the chance to really screw things up for them.
Yeah. Again, we haven't seen this intelligence report that's being cited. The Israelis are saying that the nuclear program, in their estimation, was set back at least a few years. New York Times is saying it's 6 months. Martha, before all this and the story that dropped about the assessment, the president getting onto Marine One on the South Lawn dropped some F-bombs as well as real bombs the other day, but this was an F-bomb about Israel and Iran violating the ceasefire.
It was interesting when you go back and look at the president's statement, and I don't know if he had seen any of this early intelligence, and we should obviously point out that the Defense Intelligence Agency is one of 13 agencies that will look at this report, and they are likely to have different assessments in some ways as they get a battle damage assessment, which is what is unfolding here. But the president was, in his wording, he said they'll never, and I'm paraphrasing, they'll never have nuclear operations in that place again. So it raises the question, which has been out there for a couple of days, and you talked to Vice President Vance about it the other night, Brett. There is this 900 pounds of enriched uranium, and Iran told the IAEA director, Rafael Grossi, that they were going to move some of it to a safer location. So that's a real possibility. In fact, it's basically been what people have agreed to in our interviews with them, that yes, there is this out there. What impact that has on the overall damage to the program, how many months it sets it back, I think is something that is unfolding.
Carly, it's interesting to see the political reaction, and it really falls along party lines mostly. There are some Republicans who are voicing concern that there should have been Congress weigh in at the beginning. But some of these folks, Democrats, if you look back, were in office in President Obama's term when he launched strikes in Lebanon or Syria. And there was not this whole outcry on that side of the aisle. So it is interesting to look through the prism of that.
Yeah, of course. I think Democrats, they don't want Iran to have nuclear weapons, but as sitting there is the party that is not in power, you know, they don't like how the White House went about it without seeking congressional approval before launching the military effort. You know, they think it's some kind of declaration of war or amounting to that, you know, didn't see evidence that there was an imminent threat, all of that. But that being said, I mean, I think you're always going to see Congress protesting when the president, or at least the people who are not in power protesting when the president uses his authority. And you're also seeing that there's limits to what the Democrats are doing in terms of that opposition. You know, they're not going to move forward in terms of pursuing impeachment. There's just a few outliers, I think, on the far left who are advocating for that, but they also want to see some kind of congressional approval that is mixed in before the U.S. military were to engage in further hostilities.
Yeah. As far as impeachment, Peter, the president's saying, make my day. He knows that that only benefits him probably politically. He's also saying that lawmakers need to stay in Capitol Hill until they get the big, beautiful bill through. Don't take vacation, 4th of July week, the whole deal.
Yes, and on the impeachment point, I have noticed in the last couple months since President Trump got back that he and his staff overall, everybody seems to have a much lower blood pressure than anybody that was around in the West Wing the first time. And the impeachment talk kind of does have the feel of been there, done that. I don't think he cares. Like, it's already happened twice, and he still got elected president again. And he's not going to get impeached and removed from office. He's got more than 3 years left, so I don't think he really cares. As for the big, beautiful bill, it feels like something that is going to happen. It's just going to be so different than what they promised because it just keeps taking a beating by the Senate parliamentarian. Oh, you can't defund CFPB. You can't actually stop these judges from filing injunctions to stop you. So a lot of these big things that that they've been talking about for months are getting stripped out. And so I don't know if it's going to be the one kind of big, still pretty big, but not as big, beautiful bill if it gets through.
Yeah. I mean, that's the process of, because of the Byrd rule, and they call it the Byrd bath, the washing of the bill that the Senate parliamentarian has to go through and make sure that it meets the rules to fall under the economic, basically following the budget stipulations so that they could be 50 plus one votes. So we don't know what's going to happen. I think there's probably seven votes that are up in the air, but it seems, Martha, that it's going to get through.
Yeah, I think Senator Thune, the majority leader, believes that he can get this across the table. And I think that Mike Johnson seems to believe that the momentum is there, as you point out, and as Peter pointed out, you know, this process of being able to do it with a simple majority, you got to have it in some way fit under the budgetary definition. And so anything that doesn't fit under that by the discernment of this Senate parliamentarian is going to get tossed out. Otherwise, they would have to get 2/3. And so that's just the reality of it. But I think that they will get the tax cut through. And I think politically, that's probably the most important thing they're going for here.
Yeah, so they don't see tax increases. Panel, we'll hold it right there. Peter, I was struck just back on the Israel-Iran thing that the president said to Israel that we're done operating inside Iran as far as strikes. You guys, you know, we're done. And this is ceasefire now. But if they're needed, he said they're not doing it. You know, he said different things along the way, and that's clearly a signal that the U.S. is kind of not ready to go in again.
Right. And I talked to an official who heard that call who said that it was exceptionally firm and direct when President Trump called Netanyahu. It was just a couple minutes after he referred to the, you know, he dropped an F-bomb on the South Lawn talking about Israel and Iran. He is so frustrated. And it did take a lot to get him there to the point that he dropped the bombs in Iran on Saturday. He sees that as being a big, big help to Netanyahu, something that Netanyahu has wanted him to do for years but couldn't. And he doesn't want to hear any lip from Netanyahu about, like, it wasn't enough. And so they are done. And it's hard to imagine a scenario unless the Iranians really attack American interests. And there is a lot of concern with these new intel assessments about possible sleeper cells or people who came across the open border a couple years ago with bad intentions who could be working in some way for the Iranians or their proxies. But even if there is an attack like that, it's hard to see President Trump getting to the point where they have stealth bombers going over Iran again.
Mm-hmm. Everything seems to come back to that issue of immigration when we're talking about at home, Carly. And, you know, just on Iranian nationals who were let into the country under the Biden administration, it's more than 1,500, 700 of them let into the country and not heard from. So that raised some eyebrows in CBP. It is an issue that obviously Democrats see the National Guard and how the enforcement issue and ICE is being perceived, especially out west, seems to be a political issue that they're grabbing on and saying that this is going to win for them. It didn't last time.
Yeah, I think broadly speaking, Democrats understand that voters do support efforts to curtail immigration, specifically illegal immigration, and also understanding that beneath that, there's a lot less agreement in terms of the approach and the procedures that are being done to address illegal immigration. So something like these ICE raids and some of the really aggressive and physical ways that some of these raids are being done, that's something that the American public does not like. And so I think they see an opportunity in terms of how this is being handled, if it's going to go too far, if it is being taken too far, you know, along with other issues like the economy where voters are still frustrated. You know, there's been four polls that have come out in the past week that shows voters are not in favor of the big, beautiful bill. And so I think they're looking at opportunities to poke holes into Trump's agenda and, you know, going to seize on whichever opportunities continue to present itself.
That said, you know, it seems a long way away from 26, but it's only a few months away before we get there, Martha. And, you know, Republicans I talked to seem fairly confident that they think the economy can hold its own. They think on foreign policy, some of these big issues can kind of come to a head in a good way for President Trump. And they don't see a voice or a message that is resonating one of them in the Democratic side.
I think they've always felt that they wanted to front load some of this really tough stuff, dealing with the border, deporting people. Now they've got this Supreme Court decision that went their way in terms of further deportations. And I think that the bet is that if you do all of these things up front, whether it comes to, you know, bold action in foreign policy, bold action at the border, bold action on the economy, that people will start to see the benefits of this by the time it gets around to the midterm elections. And we'll see if that happens. I mean, when I look at the market right now, you look at the economy right now, it did not take a beating, at least so far, from these tariffs. There's a lot of discussion that maybe over the summer, as people's supply chains run out in different companies, they start to feel it a little bit more. That may be the case, but it has not happened so far, this big doomsday scenario from the tariffs. So we'll see how that plays out. Look at the market. Look at oil prices. I mean, oil prices have backed off significantly at a time when you have increased tensions in the Middle East.
But in part because Iran seems like they're a little weak as far as their response. They're not going to clog up the Strait of Hormuz. You know.
I think that's all true, but I think that it's an overall signal that the market is sending that says that they are not fearful that tensions are rising in the region, that they are decelerating in the region. And I think that's significant. I mean, we'll see where it goes from here, but at least at this juncture, it seems pretty positive.
Last thing, Peter, you know, on these tariffs, he's obviously meeting with world leaders in NATO. He has one deal, UK. He has other deals apparently in the hopper, but the whole 90 deals in 90 days definitely did not transpire. And where are we on tariff deals?
Well, look, we're like 2 weeks away from President Trump dropping 50% more in tariffs on EU countries if they cannot come to some kind of a deal. It has felt, though, for a long time like when they said 90 deals in 90 days, they would all come, most of them would come at once, because President Trump has alluded to this idea that he could just appear at any time with a piece of paper and it would have all of the new terms on it. It seems like that is the direction that they are going. We know that negotiations have continued, even with all the problems in the Middle East. But we don't think that that's going to be something that they talk a ton about here, even when they are all in the same room.
We shall see. Panel, thanks so much. For Martha, Peter, and Carly, I'm Brett Baer.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Hey, it's Matt, your Leaf Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable, no clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
This is Fox on Justice. Chris Odette, who is a veteran and single dad, has spent over a decade fighting for justice after his daughter was hit and killed by a vehicle driven by an illegal migrant. In 2014, he says he dropped off his 13-year-old Krisha at a sleepover. This was the last time he would see her. Rockwall police say Krisha was crossing the street, not a crosswalk, when she was struck and killed. The driver, Ramiro Guevara, was an illegal migrant from Mexico. According to ICE, Border Patrol encountered him twice before Krisha's death, and he was wanted on a violation for driving without a license. Just 15 months earlier, Odette lost his wife to breast cancer.
I lost my entire family in the span of 15 months to a disease that couldn't be prevented and then to a crime that was 100% preventable.
In 2014, a grand jury decided there wasn't enough evidence to support criminal charges. In 2017, an immigration judge ordered him removable. But Guevara wasn't caught until this year. Odette says he finally feels he's received justice and his daughter can now rest peacefully. Brooke Taylor, Fox News.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
While July 4th marks America's independence as one nation under God, the month of June is also filled with faith and patriotism. Flag Day, Father's Day, and Juneteenth. Historian William Federer says the stars and stripes remind us that the founding fathers modeled our republic after early Israel, a nation of millions of people whose king and ruler was God.
The Puritans and Pilgrims and Baptists and Presbyterians, they looked to the pre-King Saul part of the Bible. People, everybody taught the law, personally accountable to God to follow it.
Federer says even Father's Day honors not only earthly fathers, but also God the Father, whose divine providence founders believed has guided the nation. And Juneteenth celebrates when the news of freedom finally reached Texas and the last of those held in bondage.
Lincoln said, in giving freedom to the slave, we assure freedom to the free. The way is plain, a way which, if followed, the world will forever applaud and God must forever bless.
To hear more, go to Lighthouse Faith Podcast at foxnews.com. For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Reverend Jesse Jackson made a run for the presidency in 1984. In a speech, he apologized for remarks made referring to New York as, quote, Hymie Town.
If in my high moments I have done some good, shed some light, healed some wounds, if in my low moments, in word, deed, or attitude, through some error of temper, taste, or tone, I've caused anyone discomfort, created pain, that was not my truest self. If there were occasions when my grape turned into a raisin and my jaw bell lost its resonance, please forgive me. Charge it to my head and not to my heart.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
While it's not official yet, Democrats have selected a Muslim socialist as their nominee for mayor. Sohrab Namdani is claiming victory and a big upset over former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Correspondent Nate Foy reports from City Hall on the Man of the Hour.
It's where the mayor will use their power to reject Donald Trump's fascism.
Self-described Democratic socialist Zoran Mamdani is claiming victory in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary. The 33-year-old state assemblyman plans big changes in the Big Apple.
Where rent-stabilized apartments are actually stabilized. Where buses are fast and free to stop mass ICE agents from deporting our neighbors.
Mamdani promises city-owned grocery stores, free child care, and free buses, paid for by tax hikes on wealthy New Yorkers and businesses.
He's a snake oil salesman.
Mm-hmm.
He will say and do anything to get elected. He wants to raise tax on 1% of New Yorkers' high-income earners. As the mayor, you don't have the authority to do that.
Incumbent New York City Mayor Democrat Eric Adams will run as an independent in November's general election, possibly joined by former Governor Andrew Cuomo, who conceded to Mamdani last night, but is now mulling an independent run as well. Mamdani faces accusations of anti-Semitism, even from those within his own party. Congresswoman Laura Gillen from Long Island wrote on X, quote, "Socialist Zohran Mamdani is too extreme to lead New York City. Mr. Mamdani has called to defund the police and has demonstrated a deeply disturbing pattern of unacceptable anti-Semitic comments." President Donald Trump is reacting to the Democratic primary results on Truth Social, calling Mamdani a, quote, 100% communist lunatic, while on X, former President Bill Clinton has a different tone, congratulating Mamdani and wishing him well after endorsing former Governor Cuomo during the primary race.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1974. Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's record.
And delivering.
There is a contradiction when the executive branch is both investigatory and the subject of investigation. It is these events that forced the House, by a vote of 410-4, to set in motion this impeachment inquiry.
Greatness comes not when things go always good for you, but the greatness comes and you're really tested when you take some knocks, some disappointments.
I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, have granted, and by these presents do grant, a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon.
News as it happens then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Fox News Audio presents Unsolved with James Patterson. Every crime tells a story, but some stories are left unfinished.
The thing that I'm so afraid of is I don't know how much evidence is left to even point the finger at the true person.
Best-selling mystery author James Patterson takes listeners into the core of some of America's most haunting mysteries. Real cases, real people. The Unsolved with James Patterson podcast. Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Fox News Audio presents Unsolved with James Patterson. Every crime tells a story, but some stories are left unfinished.
The thing that I'm so afraid of is I don't know how much evidence is left to even point the finger at the true person.
Best-selling mystery author James Patterson takes listeners into the core of some of America's most haunting mysteries. Real cases, real people. The Unsolved with James Patterson podcast. Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Most experts and pundits thought President Harry Truman would be soundly defeated by Thomas Dewey. On November 2nd, 1948, Truman had the last laugh.
And Mr. Kelton Barnes and Mr. Hartnett were reporting the situation as it then developed. And Mr. Kelton Barnes was saying, "Well, the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote. Mr. Truman will be defeated, and to the sorrow of myself and those of who were listening with me, and I went back to bed and went to sleep.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An 11-year-old from Oklahoma City who saved her family from a house fire makes today's Dean's List. Mandy Eggleston was watching television while the rest of her family was asleep when a lightning strike caused a fire that sent smoke through the home. After hearing a loud boom, Mandy went to check on her mom and brother and got them up to get them out of the house. And despite her mom spraining her ankle as they were trying to escape, everyone got out safely. Mandy was also calm enough to call 911 and get in contact with other family members to let them know what was going on. Battalion Chief Greg Lindsay of the Oklahoma City Fire Department praised Mandy and her bravery. Her family's home burned nearly to the ground, and her father was out of town. The family says they are going to rebuild, and everyone is grateful to the community and neighbors who have been helping them through this challenging time. Everyone is grateful they're alive and well, and Mandy is a hero. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Let's talk about what happened with Iran in the Middle East. Joining us this evening, Vice President J.D. Vance. Mr. Vice President, thanks for coming.
Absolutely, thank
Just
you.
Just seconds ago, the president went to Truth Social and typed this. It has been fully agreed by and between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire. Complete and total ceasefire is what he typed.
Yep.
What does that mean? How did it come about? What's the development?
Yeah,
here?
Well, we were actually working on that just as I left the White House to come over here. So that's good news that the president was able to get that across the finish line. I think what it means, Brett, is quite simple. First of all, the president, without, knock on wood, having a single American casualty, obliterated the Iranian nuclear program. We are now in a place where we weren't a week ago. A week ago, Iran was very close to having a nuclear weapon. Now, Iran is incapable of building a nuclear weapon with the equipment they have because we destroyed it. So that's a very, very big thing. Now, what that means, I think, is we have to talk to Iran and, of course, to Israel about what the future holds, because while we have obliterated the Iranian nuclear program, our hope and our expectation is that they're not going to try to rebuild that program. And I think that's what the president is really trying to figure out here, is to build a long-term settlement here to where we can have peace in the region, where our regional allies and, of course, the American people, most importantly, can be secured, but where we can ensure that the destruction of the Iranian nuclear program that has already happened is not something they try to rebuild.
I want to get to the obliterated part in just a minute, but I just want to read this fully so I get the context here. Congratulations to everyone. It has been fully agreed by and between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire in approximately 6 hours from now, when Israel and Iran have wound down and completed their in-progress final missions for 12 hours, at which point, the ceasefire for 12 hours, at which point the war will be considered ended. Officially, Iran will start the ceasefire, and upon the 12th hour, Israel will start the ceasefire, and upon the 24th hour, an official end to the 12-day war will be saluted by the world. During each ceasefire, the other side will remain peaceful and respectful on the assumption that everything works as it should, which it will. I would like to congratulate both countries, Israel and Iran, on having the stamina, courage, and intelligence to end what should be called the 12-day war. This is a war that could have gone on for years and destroyed the entire Middle East, but it didn't and never will. God bless Israel. God bless Iran. God bless Iran. God bless the Middle East. God bless the United States of America. And God bless the world. He seems confident that this is all coming together.
That's right.
And when you left the White House, were you thinking this was all gelling here?
When I left the White House, I thought that we might be able to get it across the finish line before this broadcast, and it looks like the president has been able to do that. I mean, look, he's been working the phones constantly. Frankly, before the 12-day war started, but certainly over the past 12 days, the president's been extremely clear about America's national objective here. It is to create a world where Iran cannot build a nuclear weapon. We, of course, destroyed the nuclear program that they had, and the president told the entire entire team. We're going to work to make sure that they don't try to rebuild that nuclear capability in the future. And it's, look, this is a great thing. For Israel, think about this. They've accomplished an important military objective. They've helped us destroy the Iranian nuclear program. They've also destroyed the conventional missile capability of Iran that threatened the country of Israel. For the Iranians, I think this is a new opportunity to actually pursue the path of peace. As I said yesterday, what the Iranians have showed through their support of terror networks, through their now failed effort to build a nuclear weapon, is that they're just not very good at war. And I think the president really hit the reset button and said, look, let's actually produce long-term peace for the region. That's always been his goal. I actually think when we look back, we will say the 12-day war was an important reset moment for the entire region.
Would you be surprised if Iran is sending out signals that it doesn't have a specific ceasefire plan? How would the communication have been with the Iranians to get this level of confidence to put out that detailed statement?
Well, one of the things I've learned, Brett, about the Iranians in the past, you know, 4 or 5 months that I've been in this job is what they say publicly and privately can sometimes be very different. I think what the Iranians have shown very clearly is they don't want this war to go on for much longer. Their air defenses have been totally destroyed. Their conventional missile program has been largely destroyed. And of course, their nuclear program has been obliterated, as I said before. So I think the Iranians are at a place where they don't want to keep on fighting. You saw the president, and I don't have the truth in front of me, but he talked about the next 6 hours finalizing the attacks. I mean, what I think what he's talking about is right now, for the American people watching, it's dark over there. That's typically when the Israelis and the Iranians have been shooting at each other. I think there's some recognition that that might continue for another few hours, and tomorrow really is a new day. The end of the 12-day war, the end of the Iranian nuclear program, and I really do believe the beginning of something very big for peace in the Middle East.
So you said totally obliterated. The president has said totally obliterated the Iran nuclear program.
Yeah.
Do you know for sure where all the highly enriched uranium is?
Well, Brett, I think that's actually not the question before us. The question before us is, can Iran enrich the uranium to a weapons-grade level, and can they convert that fuel to a nuclear weapon? And we know, based on the success of our mission, of course, the leadership of the president, but the incredible skill of our military, that the two mission objectives are completely successful. We know that they cannot build a nuclear weapon. Now, you asked about the highly enriched uranium.
Yeah, like 900 pounds of it.
But what we know, Brett, is that uranium is something that exists in very large supply. Our goal was to bury the uranium, and I do think the uranium is buried, but our goal was to eliminate the enrichment and eliminate their ability to convert that enriched fuel into a nuclear weapon. I think this is an important point, Brett, because so many of the folks who have focused on the highly enriched uranium,
sure, 60%.
The main focus, Brett, has been to destroy their enrichment capacity, because we don't want that 60% uranium to become 90% uranium. That's the real concern, and that's what was so successful about our mission.
So after all this, if the Iranian government survives as is, what's to stop it from rebuilding over time if they in fact moved the 60% highly enriched uranium? You know, that's the concern.
No, the big concern, Brett, and this, that is mission success. That is the obliteration of their nuclear program, which is why the president, I think, rightly is using that term. But here's the question. If Iran is desperate to build a nuclear weapon in the future, then they're going to have to deal with a very, very powerful American military again. Our hope is that the lesson that the Iranians have learned here is, look, we can fly a bunker buster bomb from Missouri to Iran completely undetected without landing once on the ground, and we can destroy whatever nuclear capacity you build up. I think that lesson is what's going to teach them not to rebuild their nuclear capacity.
Were you speaking on the president's behalf when you said he was not interested in regime change?
Well, Brett, what I've said is the American military, that is not our mission, is regime change. Our mission was to destroy the nuclear facilities and the nuclear program of Iran, which we, of course, did. I think what the president's also said is that the Iranian people want to make a decision about regime change. That's between the Iranian people and the regime. Of course, we support freedom fighters all around the world, but our mission was to destroy the nuclear facilities, and that's what we did.
So you don't think there's any mixed message when he goes to True Social and says it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? MEGA.
Well, I think what the president is saying very clearly, Brett, is if the Iranian people want to do something about their own leadership, that's up to the Iranian people. What the American national security interest here is very simple. It's to destroy the nuclear program. That's what we've done. And now that the 12-day war appears to be effectively over, we have an opportunity, I think, to restart a real peace process. And Brett, this is not just about two countries, Iran and Israel. All of these Gulf Arab states, they want peace. They want to invest. They want to build artificial intelligence hardware. They want to sort of come into the new economy. And that was impossible when you had Iran that was, as the president said, acting like a bully across the Middle East. We really think that if the Iranians are smart about the path forward, this could be a new dawn of an economic age of prosperity. Of course, for our Gulf Arab allies, for us, for the Israelis, for everybody, but it's going to require the Iranians play it smart from here.
The president called it very weak, the Iran missile firing on the U.S. base in Qatar, Al Udeid. Was it a face-saving move? How do you get from that, firing missiles at a U.S. base, to a ceasefire, as he details in this Truth Social?
Well, as the president said, they actually gave us some warning here. And we think they gave us some warning because they didn't want to kill Americans and they didn't want to escalate. There's definitely some symbolism to this, Brett. If you look at the Iranian attack, it was 14 missiles that they telegraphed ahead of time. We dropped 14 bunker buster bombs. As the president told me earlier, our missiles, our bombs were a little bit bigger than their bombs. Our bombs actually accomplished the goal of eliminating their nuclear program. But look, we're happy, again, to restart the peace process as the president just did today.
Was the message delivered directly to the U.S. or through an emissary?
The message is always delivered through some sort of intermediary. That's been consistently true of the Iranians. Of course, we'd love to talk to them. The president's been clear about this. We'd love to have a direct conversation about how we move this thing forward because, again, we got to step back here. Why did the president do what he did over the past week? It's so that we could destroy their nuclear program. If they try to rebuild it, they're going to be on the wrong end of American power once again. We don't want that. I think they don't want that, but the ball's in their hands.
You've been reluctant or at least cautious about getting engaged previously, and that has been public. What made you sign on to this action this time?
Well, I think the president has been very clear, and I've always agreed with the president, that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. And you try to run the diplomatic process as much as you possibly can. When the president decided that wasn't going to work, he took the action that he had to take. Now we're in a new phase. That action was successful. We had a wildly successful military operation to take out their nuclear program. Now let's go on to the next phase. And I think the president, look, sometimes he's willing to use peace. Sometimes he's willing to use the military. I think it really depends on what the Iranians do from here.
And what do you think they do from here?
Well, it's an open question, Brett. I don't want to predict what the other side will do, but I think that I know what we'll do if they continue to pursue a nuclear weapon. And I hope they don't choose that path because I know the president wants to see the Middle East become peaceful and prosperous in the future. That's not going to happen if Iran pursues a nuclear weapon again.
And for the people, so we talked about the people who believe that this is going towards World War III, especially in your own party. There's a section that's very vocal. There's another section that says you should take out this regime because it's evil and horrible and has done horrible things for decades. How do you square those two sides? And can this regime stay in place and still have a peaceful, you know, reaction relationship with the U.S.?
Well, I think the president has squared those two sides quite well. One, because he's the leader of the movement, and a lot of people trust the president, as they should. They recognize they're not seeing the same intelligence. They're not seeing the same classified documents. They trust the president to do a good job. But importantly, Brett, I think he's threaded the needle quite well here. We had a very particular objective. It was profound and difficult to accomplish.
Do you think
the elimination of the Iranian nuclear program. And I think the president successfully did that. You're asking, were the Iranians close to a nuclear weapon? Brett, they were very close to a nuclear weapon. And what I'd encourage my fellow Americans to think about here is that a week ago, the Iranians were quite close to achieving a nuclear weapon. Now, they cannot build a nuclear weapon. That is the biggest testament to the president's leadership and to the success of our mission. In 1 week, without, thank God so far, not losing a single American casualty, we have taken what was a threatening nuclear program that could have destabilized the entire world. Now that program is gone. We did it through effective presidential leadership and also some very, very competent work from our troops.
How often does it happen where you're going to do an interview and you get a true social seconds before? You have some sense of it, but it's pretty detailed where you are being asked about something the president has just put out.
In this administration, Brett, it happens quite a bit, actually, but we knew this was coming. The draft, it was interesting. I just read the draft about 2 minutes before we went on the air. It was a little bit different from what the president had showed me a couple of hours ago. But again, I knew that he was working the phones as I was on the way over here. So I knew exactly what we were going to do. And look, I love that about this presidency and this administration is he's always working. He doesn't say, you know, the vice president's going to do an interview, so I'm going to stop doing anything. He says, you know, we're going to do the American people's business. The vice president knows what I'm trying to accomplish. And if I get it done, great, because we're going to talk about it and celebrate it, because it is a thing to celebrate. I can't emphasize this enough, Brett. We have destroyed the Iranian nuclear program. Zero Americans have died. That's an amazing, amazing thing. Americans, whether Democrats or Republicans, we should be celebrating that.
Mr. Vice President, we appreciate you coming and rolling with the punches as well. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Brett. Good to see you.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, Debt Blue is here for you. With Debt Blue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at Debt Blue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto paying, e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
With that and all of this, let's bring in Fox News chief political analyst Britt Hume. Britt, good evening. You know, there's a lot of this back and forth, but there are kind of broader issues here to look at about the strike and the fallout from it.
Well, Brett, the best thing you can say about that preliminary report that leaked out was that it was very, very tentative and very, very early, and it was marked as low confidence. There's only so much you can know about underground damage from massive bombing in the 48 or 72 hours after it happens, because in order to really know, you'd have to be in there. And nobody within the reach of the Defense Intelligence Agency that I've ever heard of would be in a position to assess that. But we had reporters working on this story, one in particular who works for CNN, who is a person who fell for the Steele dossier hook, line, and sinker, who wrote that the Hunter Biden laptop bought into the story that was Russian disinformation. And so she wasn't working for CNN at the time. It's not clear to me how she ever got a job there, but CNN took her anyway, and now she's doing this kind of stuff. So, you know, I think that the subsequent intelligence reports we've heard about are more reliable. But, you know, this all has to await a longer-term situation in which somebody's going to have to get in there and really find out. But the Iranians themselves were saying that their nuclear program was badly damaged. So maybe we ought to rest with that.
Yeah, the Iranians, the foreign minister put out a statement. The Israelis had a statement that matched what the U.S. officials were talking about. Here is David Albright. He's a former IAEA investigator.
We've been looking at satellite imagery during the last 2 weeks, and it's a pretty devastating. I mean, a lot of their above ground facilities that are a critical part of a centrifuge program have been destroyed. So I think these reports that somehow there weren't centrifuges taken out are just incorrect.
But more broadly, Britt, the fact that the U.S. flew this package of B-2 bombers, dropped 420,000 pounds of ordnance on nuclear sites inside Iran. Not a single shot was fired, not a single Iranian jet got off the ground, and we got out of there and got back, suggests that we could do it again. And that was the message, not only for Iran, for China, for Russia, for the world.
Yeah, it was a reminder, if any were needed, that the United States military is the most proficient and powerful and technically equipped military on Earth. You know, there's a sort of an attitude, Brett, a view that took hold in recent years to the effect that, you know, the United States really hasn't won a war since World War II. Well, that's nonsense. People cite, you know, the outcome in Iraq, and they cite the first Gulf War and the fact that Saddam stayed in power. The fact is, our military did not lose those wars. In fact, the first Gulf War was a walkover, and the second Gulf War, where we took down Saddam Hussein, was pretty much of a walkover, too. Now, you can make an argument that, yeah, we won the war, we lost the peace, and maybe we did. But none of that is to take away from the extraordinary proficiency of our military forces and of the equipment that they use, the B-2 bomber being the most recent and most conspicuous example. The United States military is very good indeed, and one can only hope that the tyrants around the world who would dare want to challenge it would think better of it after what we've just seen over this past weekend.
Yes. Britt, as always, thank you.
Hey, it's Matt, your Leaf Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable no clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
Now open at Turtle Bay Museum, Discover Steampunk, an exhibition for all ages.
Featuring futuristic technology inspired by 19th century Victorian designs.
Steampunk reimagines steam-powered machinery and gadgets as modern inventions. Discover Steampunk is on display at Turtle Bay Museum by the Sundial Bridge in Reading.
And is produced by the Imagine Team, free for members or included with paid admission.
Discover this and much more at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.